morning, we're going to begin again in John chapter 14. We've read some scripture there over the last number of weeks, but we're going to go a little different direction with a message today and actually bring a completely separate message from the series that we've been doing. I want to talk to you today about having peace in troubled times, experiencing the peace of the Lord even when times in life are difficult. John chapter 14. And I'm going to read verse 1 and then jump down to verses 25 to 27. John chapter 14, and let me just set the stage for you before we read these verses of Scripture again. We're looking at these verses of Scripture that teach us about Jesus and His disciples. Again, remember, it's the last night before He is going to be crucified the next day. And He is preparing them for the things that are going to happen so that when they happen, they won't be caught off guard by them. And so Jesus is speaking to the disciples in John 14, 1. He says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Me." Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't fret. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Just trust and believe. Look down verse 25 with me. Jesus goes on to talk about the coming of the Holy Spirit and the verses that follow there. The fact that He is preparing a place for us so that we can be with Him forever. And that in the meantime, the Holy Spirit would come and be with His disciples, with His followers. And then He goes on to say in verse 25, "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." In other words, here again, when you begin to go through some certain things, and there are going to be hard times coming, difficult times are going to come to you, but remember what I've told you and be prepared for the Holy Spirit to remind you of these things so that you'll be encouraged even as you go through these things. Verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." And then turn over to the 16th chapter with me. One verse in the 16th chapter. Still a part of the same evening. Still a part of the same time of teaching of the Lord to His disciples. In verse 33, the last verse of John 16. Jesus again says, "These things I have spoken to you, I've prepared you in advance, I've told you in advance. These things I have spoken to you so that in Me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the Scriptures today that encourage our hearts to trust in You. And to know that in the worst times of trouble and tribulation, we can still know and experience Your peace. I pray, Father, that You would help me today to encourage this congregation and maybe teach a little bit about how to release that peace into our lives in today's difficult and challenging circumstances. Thank You, Father, for Your encouragement through Your Spirit to each of our hearts through this message in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I find it interesting as I read that passage of Scripture and knowing the circumstances and all of these things. Here is Jesus, the Son of God. I am standing on a squeaky board. Y'all think I like to get close to you, and this is why I do this every week. I don't really like you that much, but there's a squeaky board. There's a squeaky board back here, and that I just when I rock, it just... So that's why I move the podium every week. Okay, anyway. What was I going to say? I don't have any idea. Just talking about that. Oh, I know what. I was talking about the fact that in spite of what Jesus was facing, and we know now what was coming the next day for the Son of God and the trial that He was about to go through, the brutality of the abuse that He took at the hands of the Romans and leading up to the crucifixion and how terrible all that was. And Jesus, knowing all of this, still this night, His heart and His mind is on His disciples. He's concerned about them having peace. He's concerned about them being prepared for the future. That's just awesome to me. That's just awesome to me. And Jesus loves us all, and Jesus cares about each one of us here today, and he's concerned about us experiencing the peace of the Lord even through difficult and trying and troubling times of life. If you've been with us recently, we've used the example several times from the Gospel of Mark of Jesus in the back of that boat in the midst of the storm, and the waves are breaking over the boat, and the boat's filling with water, and the disciples are freaking out, and Jesus is laying in the back of that boat just sound asleep. And you know, I really believe if they hadn't woken him up, he'd have just slept the whole way across the lake. And I'll tell you what, that boat was going across the lake, by the way. Jesus got in that boat, and even though that boat is filling up with water, those disciples were afraid that boat was going to sink. I know it wasn't going to sink. You know why I know that? Because Jesus got in that boat and he said, "Let's go to the other side." How many of you know what Jesus says comes to pass? That boat was going to the other side if it had to be submerged. If it had to be like a submarine, it was going to the other side of that lake, he said. They're going to the other side. I want to talk to you today a little bit about experiencing that peace, because you and I live in a crazy, crazy world. Chaos, confusion, turmoil everywhere we look. School shootings in Florida, another one just the other day in Central Michigan University. A young man, for I don't know the reason, I don't know if they've released it yet, killed his parents on the campus of the university there. But there's just chaos and confusion everywhere we look. The world is in turmoil. Jesus said as we head toward the days of his return that nation would rise against nation. You and I should not expect things to get better. They're going to get worse as we come closer and closer to the time of the coming of the Lord. I was watching the news just the other day, and Putin in Russia has finally revealed or claims that that Russia now has a nuclear device that the United States defenses is not capable of detecting, and he believes he can destroy the United States. And he's bragging to his people about what he can do militarily and the might and the power that he claims to have there. All of these things going on in this world, economic uncertainty in the future. I know the last year has, I really believe the last year has created a false sense of security in the United States financially. And the uptick of the stock market and all of these things, and it's wonderful and it's good, and a lot of people are getting work and all that's good. But do you understand that the United States still has a deficit of over $20 trillion that continues to go up every day, and somebody, somewhere, sometime has got to pay that bill? And I'm telling you guys, it's not as rosy out there economically as we might want to hope. We pray things continue to get better. But in the big picture of eternity, the Bible tells us that things are ultimately going to get worse. We've got a generation of children that are not being taught in the home any respect for authority or any responsibility. We've got a generation of adults that don't know the meaning of the word responsibility, and they think that somehow the world or the country owes them a living. And we've got moral standards that are decaying by the hour, it looks like. There's so much confusion and chaos and wickedness in the hearts and minds of the people of this world and even our nation. We've got a group of people in our nation that I saw a meme on Facebook the other day that said something about how can we debate education about mental health when we've got a whole generation of people that don't know what bathroom to use. It's just chaos. It's weird. It's weird. Our society today. We've got diseases that a generation ago didn't hardly exist, and now they're epidemic. And everything is a conspiracy. You know, Jesus. The Bible actually tells us in 2 Thessalonians. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians that, again, as we move closer to the end, that God is actually going to release a spirit of delusion into the world. I think it's here. I think it's here. When we look around and we see everything is a conspiracy from the Holocaust of 80 years ago to the assassination of John Kennedy in the 60s to the Apollo moon landing in 69. People don't believe the truth about any of these things about what's happening in the world today. 9/11. People think it's all a big government conspiracy, a government cover up. Do you have any idea how many hundreds of thousands of people would have to be involved in that cover-up if it was a cover-up? And none of them spilling the beans to anybody? Come on, guys. Everything is a conspiracy. I read just recently where the killings in up north in Sandy Hook a few years ago, people are saying it's a conspiracy. It didn't really happen. It's the anti-gun people. And everything, I'm telling you, the world is a crazy place. And if we look at all the things that are going on in the world and all the things that are happening, it's easy to see how we can become a people who are just anxious about everything and worrying about all kinds of stuff and just stressed out all the time, just rattled about life. And it's proof positive that we have to keep our mind on the Lord as we move forward in life. And again, I could read you the scripture from 2 Timothy chapter 3, where Paul tells us, as we go forward, things are just going to get worse. People irresponsible, people with no respect, people not treating each other with any kindness whatsoever, anarchy, chaos. Jesus said these same kinds of things. This is the kind of world that we're moving toward in the probably not too distant future. But Jesus, yet in the midst of all of this, Jesus says, I want you to be at peace. I want you to be at peace. In other words, you can't settle on all the things you're hearing and on all the things that you're seeing. You got to settle your heart in another place. You can't let your heart get focused on these things and captivated by them. You've got to settle your heart on the things of the Lord. Peace I leave, Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. You know what's interesting with the great irony of Jesus' words is that Jesus, when Jesus was alive, when Jesus said these words, they were living in a time that historically was known as the Great Roman Peace. Rome had essentially conquered the world, the known world at that time. And by military might and military power had suppressed all of the other nations. And the world appeared at peace. And yet we know just looking at Israel, there was no peace there. They were in bondage. They were oppressed by the Romans. They were not at peace. See, what the world calls peace and what God calls peace are two different things. What God calls peace is an inward peace. Calm, tranquility, and serenity of the soul, which only comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, I give you my peace. Don't let your heart be troubled, guys. You're facing some hard times. Difficult times are coming. Persecution is going to come. They're going to drag you off into synagogues and they're going to put you to death for preaching me. But don't be fearful. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be anxious. Believe in God and believe in me. So this morning, I just want to share a few things with you. Some very practical things that I believe that you and I can do in order to walk in the peace of the Lord and to see the peace of the Lord released in our lives in the midst of stressful and anxious times in our lives. I realize this morning that I'm speaking, and I hope you realize that this message is spoken to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, because these things that I'm sharing with you today are promises that God has made to us. I want us to start, the first thing that I want to say to us this morning, this may sound a little strange to you, but I'll explain it and I believe you'll understand. In order to experience the peace of the Lord, we have to choose peace. Look at Romans chapter 12 with me. This is a beautiful passage of Scripture. where the Apostle Paul speaks to the believers in Rome and encourages them to walk in the true love of God. And I'm going to read a rather lengthy passage here just because it's beautiful. And I believe it'll bless you. Look at verse 9, Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Paul says, let love be without hypocrisy. In other words, don't say that you love people and not really show it. Okay? Let love be without hypocrisy. Say it and live it. Let the world see it. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. Verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. I'm coming back to that. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. That means conviction. The love of God. Did you know Paul would earlier say in the book of Romans that it's the love of God that brings people to repentance? It's not our condemnation of them. It's not our demanding righteousness from them. It's our loving them, no matter who they are or what they're doing. Loving them with the love of God will bring conviction to them and draw them to repentance. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let me go back to the one verse, verse 18, that speaks to our topic today. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. I read that verse of scripture and I think what Paul, at least I know what Paul says to me, when he says, as far as it depends on you, he's saying, don't let peace be determined by somebody else. Don't let peace be determined by the other circumstances. In other words, don't wait for the circumstances to change before you find peace in your heart. Don't wait for somebody else to start living right, hoping that their change will bring peace to your heart. No, he says, as far as it depends on you. I believe the point that Paul is wanting to make to you and me today is that, look, brother and sister, you and I can choose to walk in peace. Do you understand today that you and I, we don't get to choose what people do or what people say or any of these kind of things where we are concerned. We don't get to choose that, but we do get to choose how we react to what people do and what people say. And this is exactly what Paul is talking about here. We could choose to get defensive. We could choose vengeance. We could choose to get even. He says, don't choose that. Choose a different way. There's a better way. Choose the way of peace. See, we don't always do that. We choose conflict, strife, turmoil, drama. We choose all of these other things instead of simply choosing to walk in the peace of the Lord. We get defensive. We become unforgiving. We choose resentment. We pick fights and wonder why we have no peace. We need to make better choices. When we let other people's actions and words determine how we live, we're letting those other people control us. We've surrendered control. Only not to the Spirit of the Lord, but to the wrong attitudes of people who would want to upset our lives. We're called by the Lord to be led by the Holy Spirit and controlled by Him. We are to be proactive in love, not reactive in anger or hate. You and I can choose the way of peace. Second thing I want to share with you today. Second thing that maybe we can do to help us walk in peace. And by the way, I understand that there are issues in life that sometimes go beyond the spiritual. Sometimes there are medical things that need to be dealt with. I get that. I'm talking today about how you and I all too often let what other people say or do, or the circumstances of life that we're going through, that we're experiencing, we let those things determine our attitudes toward life. And I'm just challenging you today to realize that we don't have to let those things control our life. We can make decisions on our own to live a better life by making better choices, not based on what other people are saying or doing. Second thing I want you to recognize today is that a lot of the fear and worry and anxiety that you and I experience in life, listen, is over things we can't control. Now listen to this. Just think about it for just a moment. We worry about things and we're anxious about things that we can't control. Duh. Because if we could control them, we wouldn't worry about them. See? Well, we worry about things that we have no control over whatsoever. Some of you, probably most of you, are familiar with what's called the Serenity Prayer. It goes like this. It says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. You know, I think most of us probably suffer from a lack of wisdom to know the difference. And somehow, sometimes we find it, we think it is incumbent upon us to fix everything and to fix everybody. Control. Control. And when we can't, we get frustrated. We get anxious. We worry. And we get fearful. And of course, nobody else can fix it like we can. So we're the only ones that can get this thing right. You know, sometimes you preach from the pulpit, and then sometimes you preach to the pulpit. Truth of the matter is, brother and sister, and we need to hear this today, most of the circumstances that we go through, because they involve other human beings and their free will, most of the circumstances that we go through, we have no right to try to control them. We have no right to try to control the free will of another human being. And yet we try so hard, and when they won't come in line and be what we want them to be, we get frustrated. And we get anxious. We get fearful and we worry. We need to stop trying to control the things that are outside of our control, the circumstances, the people that we have no right to. Let me read for you from 1 Peter, if I could, chapter 5. You and I need to learn to let go of things and trust the Lord to do His will in situations. To give things to God. And let Him be God. Yeah, just go ahead and say it, preacher. Let's stop playing God in other people's lives, all right? Let's let God be God. First Peter chapter 5, I'm going to start in the second half of the fifth verse, where Peter writes and says, "Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you at the proper time." Playing God in other people's lives, brother and sister, is arrogance. It's pride. It's not humility. We need to humble ourselves, and we need to let things go, and we need to trust things into the hands of the Lord. He says in verse 6 there, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." That actually comes from Psalm 55, and if I can find it real quickly, let me read this for you. You don't have to turn there, but let me find this real quick. Psalm 55, verse 22. "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken." Now, I want you to hear what the writer of the psalm was saying, and we believe it was David, and Peter quotes him in 1 Peter chapter 5 over there. We're talking about releasing situations, releasing people into the hands of God, letting God be God in their lives and in their situations, and letting go of them and letting God do what only God can do in those things. Now hear this, okay? When Peter says, "Cast your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you," he is not promising this. Listen to me. He's not saying this. He's not saying, if you will give this situation to God, if you will give these people to God, then God will make these people do what they're supposed to do, and God will change this circumstance so that it goes the way you want. That's not what Peter is saying there. Okay? Peter's not saying, if you'll give it to God, God will fix it the way you want it. That's not what he's saying there. In fact, what happens is when we release these things to the Lord, it's not so much God fixing the things or the people as it is an opportunity, because we've released things to the Lord, it's an opportunity for God to fix us. For God to fix us. See? And so when we let go of things, when we release them to the Lord, God is able to do a work in our hearts and in our lives, and we can have the peace of God even in the midst of a difficult circumstance. Look at Philippians chapter 4 with me. Third thing I want to share with you today is you and I need to learn to focus our minds on the things of God and not the things of the world. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul would say, "Set your mind on things above, not the things of this earth. Set your mind on spiritual things. Set your mind on heavenly things. Let those be your focus. Let those things be your guiding light." In Philippians chapter 4, let's read verses 4 through 9 together. Paul writes, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Let's just stop right there for a minute. Rejoice in the Lord always. There's a lot of times when I enjoy what's happened in life and I want to rejoice about it. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. In other words, it's easy to rejoice when things are good, but when things are not going so good, we still need to rejoice in the Lord, because God is able to carry us through in those times. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Take it to God in prayer. Give it to the Lord. Let God have it. Be anxious for nothing, and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You release that thing to God. You let God have it. You let go of it. You can't fix it anyway, but God can fix you. And God can bring your heart to peace even in the midst of the worst situations when you learn to trust and believe in Him. I tell you, we share our testimony, and I don't like to keep talking about us, our family, and the things that we've been through, but we've just seen God do so many awesome things in our lives. When we trusted Him and we looked beyond the circumstances that we were going through, and we saw God give us peace in the midst of surgeries and amputations and cancers and all of these things that we've endured as a family because we chose to set our mind on something higher than what it was we were going through. We look to the Lord. We put our trust and our faith in God. And we chose to look beyond the circumstances, beyond the natural things of life, to understand there's something greater. There's a God in heaven who loves us. And the time that we spend in this world, it's just temporary. It's just momentary. We've got an eternity with God to look forward to. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? Finally, brethren, verse 8 says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good reputation, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. These are the things to focus on, Paul says. Don't look at the negative. Don't look at the bad thing. Bad stuff happens to everybody. But don't let that be your focus. Lift your eyes. Fix your mind and your heart on God and the things of God and the promises of God and the blessings and the provision of the Lord. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, Paul says, and the God of peace will be with you. Look, you're in Philippians. They're back up in your Bible a few books to the book of 2 Corinthians and the 4th chapter with me. Here's irony. Just a minute ago, I was talking about the things that we can't control and how we try to all the time. We try to control the circumstances. We try to control other people. We try to control all of these things that we have no right to control. We have no authority to control. Yet we keep on trying. The Bible says, the Bible says we can control our thoughts and our mind. Did you know that? Paul said, set your mind on things above. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul would say, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The things that the Bible tells us we can't control, we try to. And the things that the Bible says we can control, we swear we can't. Control my thoughts? I can't possibly do that. The Bible says you can. Did you understand that how many times have you heard me say this? God never tells us to do anything that He doesn't give us the ability to do it. So when God says, take the thoughts captive, guess what? We can take the thought captive, and I understand. Because I've been there. When you have let the devil run roughshod through your brain hour after hour, day after day, month after month, year after year, I understand it can be hard to take your thoughts captive. It can be hard to control your mind. But that's what spiritual warfare is all about. That's what spiritual warfare is all about. And using the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, to regain the control of our thoughts and our minds so that we set them on the things of the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul has been talking about preaching the gospel. And how it causes great pain in his life to do that because of the persecution that he suffers when he goes out and all that he has to endure to share the gospel. And yet he does it because he loves people and he wants people to know God. And he wants people to get saved, and he knows he's going to get hurt when he goes out, and he's going to be persecuted and maybe beaten and all kinds of things that can happen. And yet he keeps doing it anyway. He keeps on doing it anyway. And he tells us how he keeps his focus sharp and maintains his peace and continues to preach the gospel in the face of the tremendous suffering that he's going to endure. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says in verses 17 and 18, the end of the chapter, 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18, for momentary light affliction. And I can't read that with almost... When you read 2 Corinthians and you see the brutality that this man suffered for Jesus Christ, and he calls it momentary light affliction. What's he doing? Let me show you. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look, here's the key, while we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul says that the way that I find the strength and the way that I keep the peace to endure all the things that I go through is he says, I look beyond what I'm facing, because I know that what I'm facing in this life and in this world, it's all temporary. It's all momentary. It's all passing away. And I choose rather than to look at the problems and the circumstances and the difficulties and the trials, I choose rather to look to heaven and to see the glory of God and see the eternity that awaits me. And in that eternity, I know I will be with Jesus forever. And so in that, I find my strength and I find my hope and I find my courage and I find my peace to move forward in this life. Because Paul knows there is nothing that he's going through that can ultimately defeat him. Victory is his in Jesus. I choose not to look at the things of this world. I choose to focus my attention on the things of the next world, of the world to come, of the realm of the Spirit. And in that, he says, I will find my peace. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6 says, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 26 and 3, Isaiah says, you will keep the man in perfect peace whose mind is fixed and stayed on you. Praise God. Let's set our mind on the Lord and the things of God and trust in Him, and He will give us peace. Just a couple more things quickly, if I might. In order to walk in the peace of the Lord, wisdom chooses the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord. Not the way of the world, not the way of sin, not the way of compromise, but the way of God. Twice in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah would say this, there is no peace for the wicked. There is no peace for the person who chooses the path of sin. There is no peace. By contrast, in Isaiah 32 and 17, Isaiah says, the work of righteousness is peace. The work of righteousness is peace. If I'm making the right choices and I'm doing things God's way, if I'm doing the right things, then I don't have to worry about it. Do you understand that when you live right and when you tell the truth, you don't ever have to worry about being caught in a lie? You only have to worry about being caught in a lie when you tell lies. You understand? But when we make the choice to do things God's way, we read these scriptures a week or two ago. I think look over at Proverbs with me, Proverbs chapter 3. Let me remind you of these. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Solomon is speaking here, and of course this is ultimately God. It's speaking to us, God speaking to us. But it says, "My son, do not forget my teaching." Don't forget the teachings of the Lord. "Let your heart keep my commandments." Set your heart on the things of God. Look at this. "For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you." You want to experience the peace of God? Choose to walk in the way of God. God will give us peace. Look down at verse 13 to 18. "How blessed is the man who finds wisdom." This is the wisdom of the Lord, the wisdom of God. "The man who gains understanding, her profit, the profit of wisdom, is better than the profit of silver or gold. She's more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire compares with her wisdom. Long life is in the hand of wisdom, and in the left hand of wisdom are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace." All her paths are peace. One more real quickly, and I won't ask you to turn there. It's in Psalm 119 and verse 165. Psalm 119, verse 165. "Those who love your law," love your law, your commandment, your word, "those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble." You and I need to make choices, better choices. Choose the way of the Lord. Understand that the peace and serenity and tranquility that our heart longs for can only be found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, we read it from John 16, verse 33, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you will have peace." You will have peace. Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28 and 29, "Come to me, all of you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you peace for your soul." There isn't anything in this world, brother and sister, that will bring peace into your life. Real, lasting, eternal peace. Real peace. Only God can do that. And He gives us that peace through His Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Galatians 5:22 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Jesus brings us into His kingdom. And the Bible tells us in Romans 14 and 17, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Jesus is the only one who can bring our heart to real peace. And finally this morning, brother and sister, know that this peace that we're talking about, this peace that we seek and that it can only come from God, you and I can only experience the peace of God once we've made peace with God. We will only experience the peace of God once we have made peace with God. My last verse is Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, where Paul says this: "Therefore, having been justified, having been made right with God by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We can only have peace with God when we come to God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we have faith in Jesus and we surrender our lives to the Lord, our sins are forgiven, our souls are saved, we become children of God, we receive the promise of eternal life, and we experience the peace of God in our lives. Question for you today: have you made your peace with God? Have you made your peace with God? Would you pray with me this morning? And let me just say to you today, if you've never made peace with God as we go to the Lord in prayer, You can make your peace with God right now in these moments together as we pray to close our service today. You can make your peace with God. You can come to the Lord in these moments through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will simply pray a simple prayer that would say to God, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Be my Lord and Savior. Forgive my sins and save my soul. If you can pray a simple prayer and mean it with all of your heart to God, you can make peace with God today, and then you can experience the peace of God today. Thank you, Lord, that what our heart longs for and craves can be found. It can be experienced. But it's only experienced in you through faith in your Son, Jesus. Help us today, Father, to look to you. Help us, God, to look beyond the things of this world. Lord, help us to stop looking to this world for happiness, joy, and peace. Help us to see, Lord, that you are the only source of these things. Open the eyes of our understanding. Draw us to yourself. Make these things real to us today, God, and help us to experience them through a living relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. As we stay in an attitude of prayer for just a few moments to bring our service to a close today, and I want you to focus on what we've shared here today. Because we all tend to drift. And it's very easy for any one of us, every one of us, to start looking to the things of this world, to start looking to other people, to start thinking, well, if I just had a bigger house, a newer car, if I just had more money, we start looking to all of these other things. And the truth is that none of those things will really satisfy your soul. Every one of them will ultimately fail you where really bringing peace and contentment and satisfaction and joy in life are concerned. These things can only be found in Jesus. I implore you today, look to Jesus. Open your heart to the Son of God. Let Christ have your life. It will make all the difference in this life and in the one to come. Consider your heart today. Consider your ways. And consider Jesus. Let's stand together. As always, we are here for you. And I'm not talking about just today. I'm talking about anytime you need some help. Anytime you need some prayer. Anytime you need some comfort, you need some advice, anytime you need anything. If there's ever any way that we can help you in your spiritual journey, to help you to walk out what God has destined for you, man, our desire is to help you find that. And to help you to experience everything God has for you in your life, in this lifetime and in the one to come. Please let us know. Speak to us on the way out. Drop us a note. Send us an email. Send us a text. Give us a call. Do something. Do anything. Let us know how we can help you in your spiritual journey to find what God has for you to experience God's peace. Father, thank you for this opportunity to share the word of the Lord once again with my precious church family. God, we love these people so much, and you know that. And God, we know you love them even more than we do. And so, God, I commit them into your hands today. I ask you to watch over them and keep them, Lord. Grant to them wisdom, understanding in spiritual things. Help them, Lord, to recognize you are their source of everything. And help us all to look to you, Father, to meet our every need. Lord, the world's going to tempt us. The enemy's liable to tempt us by the time we get to the parking lot. Help us not to forget what you spoke to our hearts here today, that it might make a difference out there today and tomorrow and the rest of the week. Thank you, God. Thank you for these moments of encouragement, strength, renewed hope and faith. We give you praise for it in Christ. Amen. Let's sing together, and we are dismissed for another Sunday. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay. In your presence, day by day, till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being with us today. Great.